This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli on Lightning Radio.
You know, skill competition and what they're best at. Just be in the room, talk to them, and, you know, just hang out. This was a fun couple of days. I really enjoyed it.
It was a good thing just to get away from the regular season and have fun a little bit, joke around on the ice, do some silly things. But it's now it's goal time again, and so back to work.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Man, did anybody watch the All-Star game and the festivities surrounding it? If you did, you are a better person than I am. Is that okay? I mean, well, I'm going to ask my partner here.
Steve Versnick did.
Well, he was there.
Steve
was there. Can you imagine that? He was there, and he took it all in.
Imagine it.
Did I say that wrong?
I mean, it's not it's not like me imagining him walking on Mars or anything. I mean,
I love it.
He won the trip.
I love it. He did.
I will ask you, Steve, though, what did you enjoy more, the events in Sunrise or any events in Fort Lauderdale where you were staying?
The post party was fantastic after the game. That was on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. Saturday, the weather stunk, so like all the beach stuff during the day before the game was canceled because it was 40-mile-an-hour winds the whole time, which is not pleasant weather on the beach. But the All-Star game was fantastic. The skills competition was the events that were in the arena were great to watch, but a lot of it was taped earlier, like on the beach. They did some beach events and one at a golf course, and on television it probably played a lot better than it did in the arena.
Good. Partner, did you watch it?
No.
Dave Mishkin. I lied. No. Have you ever watched an All-Star game? Fair question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think when the 3-on-3 started, I watched the first couple. The year it was in Tampa. I watched it.
Yeah.
I watched it. Yeah.
Now, was that just more of how the Lightning had how many players in that All-Star game, too? I feel like they had, what, four? Like, it was an unusual number for the format.
What usually happens is the team that is hosting it, if there are injuries on their team, their divisional team, often if they're worthy replacements, they kind of get first crack at it. Kind of like Barkov was put in for the Panthers. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the Lightning had, what, four that year, didn't they? Or five?
I think
I was going to say
five.
Stamkos, Kucherov, Point,
Hedman, and Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
But they weren't all initially supposed to be on the team.
No.
I may not be remembering it right.
I think Hedman got hurt. That put Point on. That gave him the fifth one.
So Point replaced.
They did have five.
I believe
Hedman had a presence there because he came in with the pirate outfit with Erik Karlsson.
That is correct. And that's what I remember from that. Well, and that was also, was that the year where Braden Point kind of opened up eyes with how fast he was?
I think you're right.
Going against McDavid a little bit, and you know everybody was like, wow.
Not only are you asking me to
questions you don't know,
remember All-Star games, you're asking me to remember what happened at a specific All-Star game.
How about that?
That is a tough way to come back.
We are
back to work. Like Vassi said, now it's back to work. We are back to work. I hope you, Greg, enjoyed
a
few days.
It was good.
Away from your headset and microphone.
It was good. It was nice to decompress a little bit. It was weird not having really anything to digest when it comes to the NHL. And, you know, I was thinking about this today as we were prepping for the show, and hope everybody had a couple of good days maybe away from hockey. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were just miserable and you're like, I cannot wait for hockey to come back. And that's fine. At Bolts Radio, he's Dave Mishkin. I am Greg Linnelli. Steve Versnick's our producer. I actually think Florida is the perfect opponent for Tampa Bay to jump back into and play against because of we can call it the rivalry, and that's fine. But I think it does raise your antenna, so to speak, the team you are playing. And we do know this, and I don't know how efficient the play will be tonight from both sides, understanding the layoff. But I have a sense, partner, it's going to be intense. Just because it's the first game back after a few days off, there's the rivalry component to it. But look, Florida needs points. I mean, we're jumping right back into this thing. Tampa Bay is not in the same spot as Florida. And Florida, I think, understands, okay, there's urgency now. The All-Star game's behind us. we find ourselves out of a playoff spot. And, oh, by the way, we've got to leapfrog a bunch of teams to get into the playoffs. Most likely only three Atlantic Division teams getting in at this point. And who knows how it's going to play out. But Florida needs every game moving forward.
Yeah, that's the thing, Greg. I think the Panthers understand their push for the playoffs has to start now. It starts tonight. Maybe it started even before the All-Star break. They had a pull a rabbit out of the hat kind of comeback win against the Bruins in their final game before the break where they scored. They gave up a goal in the final minute to fall behind by one. Then they scored with mere seconds left to tie it and then won it overtime. So that was an emotional win for them. It's also their first win this year, A, in overtime, not including the shootout. They have a shootout win, but their first overtime win and their first win in a game in which they trailed after two periods. They have been a really bad third-period team. Their goal differential is among the worst in the NHL in the third period. So that has been a problem for them because they are above the Mason-Dixon line, essentially. Like, their goals, four goals against is plus in the first and the second, but it is severely minus. Minus 21 now is their goal differential in the third. So they've had a hard time when they've been behind going into the third period, getting points of any kind. And the game against the Bruins was the first game they had won in that scenario, which kind of gave them a boost going into the All-Star break. But the reality is, you are correct. They need to make a push now. They have 30 games left. And while the NHL's morning skate is all hunky-dory and sunshine and roses for all these teams that are within, I would say, striking distance of the playoff cut line, the reality is that the math is not in Florida's favor. So, like, the morning skate report was promoting some of the games tonight, and, you know, you have the Islanders in action, you have the Sabres in action, you have the Panthers in action. They're three teams that are within just a few points of Pittsburgh, which is the team that holds the second wild card. But the reality is that for the Panthers anyway, they are behind both the Islanders and the Sabres,
right,
who are currently behind the Penguins. And I understand it's only a three-point differential. The Penguins have three games in hand on the Panthers. So when all of that evens out, even if the Penguins, let's say, go 500, let's say they get 3 out of 6 points, it's not a three-point gap, it's a six-point gap. And you've got to make up ground on the teams ahead of you. Oh, and you got to worry about the teams right behind you. And there are teams right behind the Panthers as well, who also have their sights set on moving up. So it is just, it's not impossible, but it is going to be challenging. I think the Panthers understand that. They're not all sunshine and roses. They are clear-eyed about the challenge in front of them, which is why I think they, for sure, are going to come out ready to go tonight. Will it help the Lightning that they're facing a rival? You'd like to think so, but the reality is for the Lightning that they are in a way different position. They are not feeling the same level of urgency that the Panthers feel, so the Lightning are going to have to make sure that they meet emotionally the energy that the Panthers are going to start this game with tonight. And Panthers are also getting their injured goalies back, by the way. So both Bobrovsky and
Knight have
been hurt.
Yeah.
In fact, Alex Lyon played the last six games before the break. Both of their other goalies are now healthy. Bobrovsky, Paul Maurice said, is starting tonight, and Knight is going to back up.
And, you know, again, that's a position where having some time off, you don't know how somebody is going to react. And I think that's going to be interesting. Perhaps does Vasilevsky stay a little sharper than some of the other guys who he's going to be going against there in the next couple of games based off of, you know, practice and playing in a game, albeit one that, you know, wasn't very intense. And we can debate that if we want to. But point being, I don't know how this game is going to play out. What I do know is there's going to be a lot of urgency, you would think, from... There should be both teams, but certainly from the Panthers. And with urgency comes a certain level of intensity. Again, I don't know exactly what type of hockey we're going to see. And I want to preface that by saying, you know, I don't want to judge too harshly the day after a game like this to see how things play out. I mean, the Lightning have four games this week, so it's going to take them, what, a game or two to get in sync here because they're going to be playing a lot of hockey, as will – the rest of the league coming up here. And I think it's going to take them not very long to get into the swing of things. But I do think that first game back is always a little bit of a challenge. But I do think if there's one team to get this out of you in terms of playing hard, keeping your head on a swivel, so to speak, and raising your urgency, I do think it's the Florida Panthers, regardless of where they are in the standings. And then I think for the Lightning partner, they had a chance to recharge a bit. What are their expectations and things they want to work on from now until the playoffs? And, you know, obviously they want to win games, and, you know, we can give the big view of where the team is. But, you know, specifically, what are some things this Lightning team, now they've had a chance to kind of decompress, take a step back, get back into it tonight, what do they want to try to accomplish when we start talking about their game and where they want to be once the playoffs begin? I think that's going to be an interesting sign starting tonight as well.
Well, I mean, if you're asking me, I think the Lightning would like to get their goals against number down. I was struck looking at the notes today, Greg, the Lightning, so they are in the top half of team defense, which is kind of that metric that we've touched on at points. And the Kraken and the Penguins have flipped positions since we last talked about this, where the Kraken now are 16th in team defense, so they're in the top half technically, and the Penguins are 17th, so the Penguins moved down into the bottom half. And then you also have Edmonton and LA are the other two teams that are in the bottom half. So it's similar in that 13 of the 16 teams that are currently holding a playoff spot are in the top half of the league in team defense. I don't think that that is a coincidence. We saw the same thing last year. You're going to have a couple of those outlier teams that basically score enough that they aren't getting burned by giving up more goals than at least half of the league, right? So they're in the bottom half. But the Lightning are not exactly like up near the top. They're at 2.92 goals allowed per game. Now, I do think a couple of things have hurt them this year. One is they have allowed a ton of empty net goals. And some of that is, you know, John Cooper refuses to kind of throw in the towel. When they give up an empty net goal, he'll often pull the goalie again. And there have been a handful of games this year when the Lightning have given up two empty net goals in a game. That has affected it somewhat. But, I mean, we're not talking about 50 empty net goals they've given up, right? Like, they're in the teens in terms of empty net goals allowed. So maybe if we had cut that number down a little bit, let's say they'd only given up one in some of these games instead of two, that would help them a little bit. But I think that they want to get that number down. And, you know, the three-game homestand they had against three quality teams heading into the break, that was a very good step in the right direction in that they held those teams to two goals allowed in all three.
Yeah.
So if you were to ask me, like, what do they want to work on in the final for them 34 games of the regular season, I'd like to see way more games where they're holding the opposition to two or less than more than two. That is a good kind of easy-to-follow metric as they kind of gear up for the stretch run in the regular season and into the playoffs. And the other thing that I'd like to see is something that we did see in the three-game homestand as well as the lower goals against, and that's depth scoring. Because they got it during the three-game homestand. You know, we saw Corey Perry with three goals.
We did.
We saw Belmar with a goal. We saw Ross Colton scoring. All that's really positive. And I'd like to see that continue.
Yeah, and I think it's a team, for the most part, that is relatively healthy.
Yes.
And I think that's something we have to keep in mind, too. Our guys playing with bumps and bruises, you know, that's the cliche you hear in any sport that's physical, for sure. I do think the time off probably helped in that endeavor, for sure. And I think, for the most part, all things considered, a team who's played a lot of hockey over the last 3 years gets this type of break has to be somewhat beneficial to them. And having their legs at this time of the year, I think, will help them moving forward. So I think the health is a big deal because, let's face it, I think one thing the Lightning have had over some of these teams and a big reason why they've been able to be successful partner is because they've been relatively healthy at key positions. The Steven Stamkos situation a couple of years ago in the bubble, notwithstanding, but still, for the most part, the Lightning have been ready to go. We did see them be pretty nicked up against the Avs, but they were still able to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals and compete pretty hard in that series. Some things could have gone either way when you start talking about injuries, specifically to Braden Point, but I think pretty fortunate all in all. But for me, that was the biggest thing. Where is this team health-wise? And at least right now, who knows if it'll stay that way. All signs point to them being pretty good from there. And we'll see if they can continue that good fortune. This question came from, let's see here, Bill. He wants to know, guys, any update on Rudy Balcers?
Well, we do have an update on Rudy Balcers because when we signed off, Greg, on Tuesday, a week ago, tomorrow was our last show, Balcers had been put on waivers, but the news about whether a player has been claimed or not doesn't drop until 2 p.m., so we were off the air. Balcers cleared. Now, this is old news now. I mean, this happened last Tuesday, but color me a little surprised that he cleared. And the reason that I say that is, as we spelled out in the show last week, the Panthers, the team the Lightning are playing tonight, could have claimed Balcers and sent him straight to the minors.
Yeah.
That's the rule. So it happened with Jamel Smith with the Lightning last year. If you have a player on your NHL roster, try and send him down. He goes through waivers but doesn't clear. Another team claims him. That team then would need to keep him in the NHL or subsequently, if they wanted to send him down, put him through waivers again. If they do try and put that player through waivers again and no other team puts a claim in on him, the team that originally lost that player can claim that player back and send him straight to the minors because that's kind of what they intended to do in the first place, right?
Yep.
That's why the rule is in place. It does make sense. So there would have been no risk except for adding a minor league salary, if that's the way the Panthers wanted to do it, for them to claim Balcers back, but they didn't. So I consider that a win for the Lightning. And so Balcers has cleared waivers. He's in Syracuse. He is eligible to be called up if the Lightning choose to call him up. But here's the rub. If the Lightning call him up or anybody else, they would have to make a subsequent move because they don't have the cap space. So I think, as we talked about last week, the reason he was put on waivers in the first place was the Lightning felt that that was almost the lesser of two evils, essentially. I mean, it's not like Julian Brisebois told us this, but reading the tea leaves, they were more willing to potentially lose Balcers than to make a subsequent move and lose a different player. Because the only player who's waiver exempt is Nick Perbix. Perbix was sent down to clear space so that Balcers could basically finish his conditioning stint. Once he finished his conditioning stint, he needed to get on the NHL roster before they put him on waivers. That's why Perbix was sent down, and then Perbix came right back up once Balcers was put on waivers. Perbix is not going anywhere. So if you're going to keep Balcers, that means somebody else on the active roster needed to be removed, presumably sent to the minors.
Right.
And that player would have had to go through waivers. So the Lightning's calculus was, if we're going to lose someone, let's have it be Balcers as opposed to somebody else.
Yep.
They didn't lose Balcers, so that's really good news. But their cap crunch remains ever present.
Right.
So unless they have an injury where somebody's going on long-term injury, I'm not quite sure how it works if somebody is just nicked up and can't play. I mean, they do have two extra defensemen, Foot and Fleury, right now. So they could fill an injured player's spot without having to call somebody up. But essentially, to call somebody up and add that player to the active roster right now, that would require a subsequent move to reduce salary. However you want to look at that. Putting somebody on long-term injury could do it. If somebody is injured seriously, making a trade or sending somebody down in place of calling somebody up.
And by the way, the D pairings, especially yesterday, Hedman, Bogosian, Cole Chernak, Sergachev, Perbix, and Fleury and Foot were the extras.
And Stamkos is still on the line with Point and Kucherov. So it looks like that's what the Lightning are going to go with moving forward here. at least in the short term, I will say, and maybe in the long term. And Hagel is playing with Cirelli and Killorn.
Do you think, and this is just more of, it might even be nitpicking, I hate to explain myself before I make the point because it sounds like you're hedging. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me here in this specific example. But at Bolts Radio, if people want to get involved in the conversation, how much different is that first line with Stamkos on it compared to Hagel? Understanding that Stamkos and Hagel are different players, Dave, but I feel like they're getting the same results this year. Now, this year, not for their whole career. Steven Stamkos is a Hall of Famer. Brandon Hagel is still very new to the league in terms of just games and age. But I am curious. It's different ways to do it, but the production has been the same. And I think we've discussed this before. And I'm wondering if those line combinations are going to be more about who the Lightning are playing against compared to how well a particular player is playing with that line.
I don't know, Greg. I mean, the line, the point Kucherov unit is different with Stamkos as opposed to Hagel.
Yes.
Hagel is a corner guy. He's more in the mold of a Palat, honestly. Like, he's a guy who's often first in on the forecheck if they're dumping, although that line doesn't always dump because right. You have Point who can carry it in. But if they dump it in, Hagel's often the first guy into the forecheck. Hagel is a guy who will win pucks in the corner. Hagel is a guy who goes to the front of the net, but also can play with skill and can play with skilled players. When Stamkos is on that line, the line kind of operates a little differently, but not ineffectively. They're not losing effectiveness by replacing Hagel with Stamkos. And then the Cirelli line gets a little bit of a different look as well, in that you got three players that can really grind it out. And that's why that has been an effective matchup line for the Lightning when they've used it as such. Specifically, I'm thinking last year in the playoffs, but they match that line against essentially the opposition's best line, or one of the opposition's best lines, during that three-game homestand and in games prior to the three-game homestand as well. That's kind of why we saw Hagel get moved onto that line in the first place, because the Lightning were in games and the other team's top line was doing more than Coop wanted to see.
Right.
So he moved Hagel onto the line with Cirelli and Killorn and tried to match best he could, easier to do when you're at home than when you're on the road. So we'll see if it continues. I don't know if that's necessarily, but my answer to your point, basically, Greg, is that, I mean, the Lightning have 34 games left in the regular season. A lot can happen between now and the end of the regular season, including potential moves at the deadline that may require some line shuffling as well. Maybe not. I think right now, though, Coop is happy with how these last three games went, and these were the line combinations the Lightning used in those three games. So he's keeping them together for now. I'm not sure he's thinking about like 2 months down the road.
Yeah. I think that would be a very fair way to summarize that situation. It's just interesting looking at those two players, and they are different in their skill sets, but they've gotten the same results in many ways. And honestly, you know, Hagel has shown finishing ability this year playing with elite players. Stamkos, because he's healthy, can grind it out and go into those areas where he's got to battle along the boards and sometimes come out with the puck. So guys, I think, I don't want to say there were perceived weaknesses, but maybe because of just lack of confidence, maybe injuries, and now healthy, both players, I think in general, whatever shortcomings you think they may have, if at all, I think both of those players in many ways have addressed those. And as I said before, whether it's health, and I think for Hagel, confidence, pretty well-rounded top six. Especially when you interchange Stamkos and Hagel moving forward. So that's just something to keep an eye on.
I agree with you. I mean, look, what I said was I'd like to see, personally, I'd like to see more scoring from the bottom six. I mean, you don't need a ton of scoring from the bottom six, but you want complementary scoring and depth scoring. But I don't think anyone can look at this Lightning team so far this year and have any complaint about what the top six have been able to do.
No, they've been outstanding.
No matter how they work those top two lines.
I think it's a good point, and I think it's something we'll continue to monitor. At Bolts Radio, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you certainly can do just that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We do have a couple of other questions coming in, one pertaining to that first game after the All-Star break. We'll get into that. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? Is it just a number? And any more of your questions, we will discuss when we return. He is Dave Mishkin. I am Greg Linnelli. Steve Versnick is our producer. It is a game night. Lightning and Panthers back after this on Lightning Radio.
You're listening to Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli.
Glad you're with us. Game night. Had to get used to the fact that the Lightning back in the swing of things here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
After a few days off, and of course, check us out here. All of your Lightning coverage. Excited about that. He's Dave Mishkin. I am Greg Linnelli. Steve Versnick's producing at Bolts Radio. If you want to tweet at us. Chris Kren had an interesting tweet, and it was piggybacked off of Dale's response. He said, guys, what do you make of the Lightning's record that first game back after the All-Star break recently? It hasn't been great.
What's the record?
Let's see here. Kren had lost 5 in a row in the first game after the All-Star break. Over the last 10, Tampa Bay 4-5-1.
Now, is he including last year when there was no All-Star game?
Good question. Don't know.
That was the Olympic break when the Lightning had about a week and change off and they played at Colorado. I don't know. I think that there has been enough evidence, as our fans have eagerly pointed out when we have had our show during these last few years when we've been in this situation, that the Lightning have, even if they've won a game, they haven't always started well in that first game after some kind of a break. Now, I think that they did okay after the holiday break. Coming out of the holiday break, they beat Montreal, and if memory serves, Greg, fairly convincingly. And then they came back and had that really exciting, low-scoring game, but high-quality game against the Rangers the very next night. But that wasn't the first game back after a layoff. So we'll see. They did not play well in Denver. Last year in the first period, they had a good second half of that game. It almost came back and tied it, but that was one of the losses maybe that Chris is including in there.
Could be.
Maybe not. There was an All-Star game last year. In fact, we haven't had an All-Star game since the 2019-2020 season until this year, right?
Yeah. It's a good point by you.
So, I mean, how much stock are we putting in something that happened like 8 years ago? Even though that would be included in,
I don't get wrapped up in
that stat line.
You know, I don't get wrapped up in past experiences too much. I think there are certain statistics maybe that hold a little bit more water, so to speak. Maybe records, you know, records in the playoffs. You know, we talked about the Leafs last couple of years and their issues in that first round. Although you and I have said, look, that series with Tampa Bay could have gone either way. Does that mean that the Maple Leafs, you know, just wilt under pressure when it comes to the playoffs? I mean, the record would indicate it, but when you actually watch them play recently, you'd say, well, that might have just been a case of a tough opponent.
Yeah, and they've had a tough
going
opponent.
Against.
Yeah.
Like just about every year they've had a tough opponent. Maybe you want to say with the exception of Columbus and the bubble, but Columbus was coming off the sweep of the Lightning the year before. I mean, they were, I don't know if I would call them battle-tested, but they were not an easy out. And the Lightning disposed of them in five. But remember, game one was, you know, five overtimes deep. Like, that was not any kind of a routine series win for the Lightning. They saw Columbus after Columbus beat Toronto. The other losses for the Maple Leafs have been against the Bruins and the Lightning, with the exception of the 1 year they lost to Montreal. That's probably the one that I would say, and I understand. The Canadiens got to the Stanley Cup final that year. That was the one, if you look back, you say the Leafs should have won that series. They had a 3-1 lead. They lost games 5, 6, and 7, 5 and 7 at home, 5 and 6 in overtime. They needed to find a way to get the job done there and get that series across the finish line. They couldn't. But I think in all of the other series, they were facing high, high quality opposition. And those series could have gone either way, and they just didn't go the Maple Leafs' way. But look, it looks like we're heading toward another first round matchup between the Lightning and Maple Leafs. And it's not going to get any easier for the Lightning if they face the Leafs. I know we're jumping way ahead here, but like, we know how tough that series was last year. And I would make the argument it's going to be even harder this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But like I said, in general, I don't know how much the past has an impact on the present.
Right. I think the past can have an impact in that it can make a team hungrier, potentially.
I think that's a good point, especially if the same core of players are still on that team. Yeah, right. I mean, because if you've got a lot of change, I always laughed when they talk about rivalry games between two teams, and they try and harken back, like, 10 years ago, this was one of the best rivalries, and it still is, but it's like, but not many of those players are still around. So maybe in some ways you have a faint idea of what the rivalry will be because it's more location. Like, will Tampa Bay and Florida from here on out continue to have a rivalry if the players who were entrenched in it when it was very intense are no longer with the team? I guess it's hard to answer that question. Some of that's going to be, well, maybe the new players will have that rivalry with the other side. And,
right.
You know, some of that, too, is how competitive are they moving forward? And I think there are a lot of factors, but... I think for individuals, there can be a little bit of that, whether you're going against a goaltender that's had your number, maybe there's a building where you don't play particularly well. I may buy that a little bit more.
I would buy it with an opponent. And I mean, I think that hockey's weird because you don't always see the same team, even though we just mentioned the Lightning and Leafs may see each other again in the first round. But it's not often that you see the same team when the stakes are really high repeatedly.
Yeah.
In hockey. You know, the NBA might be a little different because the top teams tend to advance, right?
Right.
So often you see a lot of the top teams playing each other. I think there has been a history of, like, one team has another team's number. And when the team that repeatedly lost finally got over the hump, it made a difference. Maybe you can make that case about the Capitals and Penguins in 2018. That would actually be a good example in hockey.
Could be one.
Where the Caps could not get past the Penguins. They were a good team. They just couldn't beat the Penguins. Finally, they did, and they took off. I think about, like, you know, Jordan and the Bulls. I don't know how many years they lost to Detroit when the Pistons were really, really good, but it was kind of like the Bulls were coming up and the Pistons were kind of sitting on the throne and kept, like, batting them away. And then finally the Bulls beat the Pistons and they were able to ascend to the throne. You know, I think that there was something to that, but that's assuming you're talking about a lot of the same players and the same teams, right?
Yep.
And we just don't see that as often in the NHL. Lightning have taken the ice, by the way, Greg. It looks like a full skate. They had a full skate yesterday, but I'm not surprised coming out of the break they have a full skate today. I would expect Vasilevsky is going to get the start. In fact, he's getting ready to be in the starter's net. And with a back-to-back, I would look for Elliott to play tomorrow in the home game against San Jose. Elliott has not played since the Lightning were in Vancouver. In the middle of that 5-game road trip.
Yeah, interesting. Well, to me, that's going to be an intriguing aspect of all of this. Again, we did kind of harken back on it a little bit with the rust factor and how quickly does that come off for both teams. But I do think that'll be a theme, a little bit of a theme tonight more than anything. At Bolts Radio, if you want to get involved in the conversation.
Greg, I just want to mention one other element to this, and this is the last thing I'll say about the Panthers, unless the fans have a question about the Lightning's opponent tonight. But, like, the Panthers are not in an ideal position in terms of their standings position. But one thing they do have going for them is a much friendlier schedule, at least in the short term. They played a lot of road games, so they have a lot of home games to make up. And they've played two in a row at home heading into the All-Star break. They lost the Kings and they beat the Bruins. But from here on out moving forward, of their next 17 games, 12 are at home. And they have a road game against the Lightning later this month. After that road game, they play seven in a row at home. And if you want to say, like, look for maybe a signature they need to make now, but that seven-game homestand could be make or break for the Panthers.
Yeah.
So if you're a Panthers fan and you're looking at the standings like I am, and you're clear-eyed about it, and you say this is not going to be particularly easy, it's going to be a tall order to get even into the second wild card. They do have the benefit schedule upcoming here for the next several weeks.
I think you're right. Going in a little bit, in and out there, we'll get Mish here situated at Bolts Radio. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you certainly can. This question comes from, let's see, Aaron wanted to know about Vlad Namestnikov. Do you guys think he's one player that has a lot more to give from here on out?
Well, he's part of the bottom six that I said I'd like them produced a little bit more regular 600th regular season NHL game played. So congratulations to him.
You know, what's interesting.
But the answer to the question would be yes. I would say yes.
And I would agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, out of all the players, I think this year on Tampa Bay's roster, when you take a look at production and what was expected, I do think Namestnikov was one guy. And I think you probably sit down and ask the guy. You know, you probably thought you'd be a lot further along. I mean, this is somebody who I don't think was going to make the claim that could have been in a top six, but he certainly had experience playing with highly skilled guys on this Lightning team before. And in previous years, had Namestnikov been put on a line with, let's say, especially Kucherov, I don't think anybody would have been completely shocked because of his history there and the fact that he is somebody who is versatile and has some skill and can do some things in the offensive zone that would help the other two guys on his line be productive. For whatever reason, it's just been one of those years. And you know what, Dave? Sometimes in sports, that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about Brandon Hagel a little bit the second half of his season last year with the Lightning. He's a completely different player this year than he was last year. Sometimes, and you hate to have it because you only have a certain amount of years playing professional sports, sometimes you have a year where things just don't click. It happens. And I think, you know, as professional athletes, they try to minimize those as much as possible, especially for a guy who's working on, you know, a one-year contract here from here on out, basically. You want to do well to get that next contract and get paid. But I think Namestnikov would be the first guy, Aaron, to tell you that he is somebody that is expecting more. The good news for him, you have the rest of the regular season here to kind of turn things around. But also, too, partner, where Namestnikov can really atone for maybe getting off to a slower start at the beginning of the year is in the playoffs.
Yes.
You can really redeem yourself, especially when you're on a team like the Lightning, where you're going to have some opportunities playing in the postseason. If you perform well during that part of the game or the season, I think a lot of people will forget your regular season numbers and what they look like. And I think that's a fair analysis. So hopefully that answered your question, Iron at Bolts Radio. Partner, did you have anything you wanted to add there in terms of just the postseason and redeeming yourself? I know we're having a couple of connection issues, and I don't want to put you on the spot if you were talking and getting reset. Hit us up on Twitter at Bolts Radio. Lightning and Panthers coming up tonight. We will have the network pregame at 6:30. Of course, the pregame skate show will be a half hour before I hit the airwaves, which is always a lot of fun. This question comes from Jim. It says, guys, what are you anticipating from Victor Hedman from here on out? I feel like his production started to pick up the last couple of weeks.
More than the last couple of weeks. I think it coincided with him going back in the top power play unit. I mean, you can look at his game by game and also him starting to play with first Perbix and then Bogosian. I think all of that worked in his favor. But it's not just kind of his partner and opportunity. I think his play has elevated also. Now, you've said, Greg, you feel he has another level to get to. I wouldn't disagree with that.
I do. And look, I think a lot of it is just his level is so high. You know, we're used to seeing, you know, as I've said before with this Lightning team, in my view, I think you can make a strong case. They've got 4, 5, maybe 6 Hall of Famers on this roster right now. So when you're used to seeing Hall of Fame type production and you see that production maybe dip a little bit, it's noticeable. Doesn't mean they're not having a good year. You go from Hall of Famer to, you know, very good in 1 year. At least for somebody like me, I'm going to notice that a little bit because your level of play has been such where the standard is pretty amazing. And I think Hedman has been very good this year. But do I think Victor Hedman has reached that elite level consistently this year? I don't. And I've said before, I think the good news is there is room there for him to run, so to speak. And when that happens, that back end, which I think has been pretty good this year, is going to take on a different level. Again, partner, some of this, too, is let's judge it once the postseason comes.
Yeah.
I think that's also pretty fair. And maybe people don't want to hear that answer all the time, but I think that's kind of the reality of a team that's made the playoffs as much as the Lightning have had. So we'll see how that plays out as well.
He does have goals in the last two. So he had 2 goals all year before the last two, and one was an empty netter in Seattle. But then against Boston and L.A., he scored. So now he's up to 4 goals. And that matters. I mean, for a guy who's used to getting points, defenseman maybe doesn't score goals as often as maybe he gets assists. And that's true for Victor. But Victor likes to score. I mean, there are no two ways about it. And for him to see a couple pucks go in probably will help his confidence even more.
Yeah, I never bought that, you know, well, he's doing a lot of other things well, and let's not judge him by goals and points. No, you judge Victor Hedman in large part, based off of what he does filling the net.
Yeah.
He's an unusual guy from that standpoint, so you have to change your evaluation and raise the bar from that standpoint. It's just part of the equation with Victor Hedman. You look at him differently than you do a Nick Perbix for a lot of different reasons, but the makeup and the skill set is just a lot different. Look, it's the same way you would probably look at Erik Karlsson with his offensive numbers or Brent Burns when he was putting up as many points as he was. That's their package. That's what they do. You know, if they're not scoring and they're not putting up points, are they as effective as when they were? No, that's what makes them unique. A defenseman who can fill the net and pick up points. He understands that. I'm not saying anything that's different, but, you know, he understands that. Jason wants to know, guys, do you think the goaltending rotation will just be simply second game of a back-to-back? It's Brian Elliott.
Well, yes, and it's possible Elliott will get some games that are not the second half of a back-to-back. The Lightning have a couple of back-to-backs, more than a couple, actually, in this month.
Yeah.
Because they have some Friday, Saturday back-to-backs. Really, they have Friday, Saturday back-to-backs. I don't know how many weekends in a row it is, but it's a fair number. So this weekend they play Saturday afternoon in Dallas. Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. They don't play both nights of the weekend this weekend. Then the following weekend they're in Vegas Saturday, and that's the end of the trip. But after that, they've got the weekend Detroit-Pittsburgh, They've got the weekend where the game was added in Buffalo, Carolina, and then they have back-to-back weekends later in March where they play home Saturday and Sunday as well. So all of those are opportunities for Elliott to play, and I didn't even mention the Colorado-Arizona back-to-back they have on the trip that starts in Dallas this Saturday afternoon. So Elliott's going to get his games over the next several weeks.
Yeah, I would say, for sure.
Will he get additional games? I would not be surprised if he gets additional games. But with so many back-to-backs, or the back-to-backs coming frequently, he may only play one of those two games. But he'll still be getting in regularly. Let's see if the Lightning could do a little better in the second game as well. Now, this one is where they play the second game at home. But particularly when they have the second game on the road, they've not done well, or as well, this year.
And honestly, I know I've taken some questions about this, and I'm sure you have as well, the difference between home and away this year for Tampa Bay. You know, what's
of it is just that, Greg.
You know, what is the difference?
It's not only that, but they have not done as well playing the second half of a back-to-back on the road against a rested opponent. The Lightning are 3-5. This is their ninth back-to-back that they're starting tonight. So in the first eight, they've gone 6-2 in the first game and 3-5 in the second game. And two of the three wins were at home. So they are 1-5 on the road in the second half of a back-to-back. And I want to say, just off memory, without looking at it, all six of those road games have come against rested opponents. That's part of the schedule. It's not easy, but that in part, accounts for what we'll call a 500 road record. I mean, if they'd done better in those six games, the road record would look a lot better, I think, if you're adding a win and taking away a loss. Or even if they'd gotten some of those games to overtime and they move out of the regulation loss column and into the overtime shootout loss column. They just haven't been able to do it.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you start talking about that scenario and the back-to-backs, I do think it helps, at least in this year, it would look like that second game of the back-to-back playing on home is much better for Tampa Bay this year, and which that's what we're going to see tomorrow, correct?
Yes. Although they are seeing a rested opponent. We can talk about this tomorrow, Greg. I'm not sure that that's going to be as much of a disadvantage for the Lightning. I mean, first of all, they're going to be at home. Second of all, it's not a long trip from Sunrise to Tampa. And they've won a similar situation already this year where they beat the Islanders at home after playing in Sunrise the night before. That was back in October. And I don't believe the Islanders played that night before either. So it was a very similar situation to the San Jose deal. But the reason I think that whatever kind of disadvantage you want to give the Lightning for having played and traveled the night before, where their opponent is sitting waiting for them, even though it's going to be at Amalie Arena, I think some of that is offset by the fact that the Sharks will have had their bye, right? So tomorrow is the Sharks' first game. The same thing that we were talking about earlier on this show and took some questions about, how the Lightning come out of the gates, essentially. The Sharks are going to be the team that hasn't played in over a week tomorrow, and the Lightning will have had a game under their belt. I think that actually works to the Lightning's advantage. But under normal circumstances, I would say it's a slight advantage for the team that's waiting for the Lightning at Amalie Arena or in Tampa while they played the night before. But usually when that happens, the Lightning aren't traveling like from Boston, right? Like, they usually have a game somewhere else that's close, and sometimes they're at home. Like the Rangers game, when the Lightning played Montreal and the Rangers back-to-back at home, the Rangers were in Tampa waiting when the Lightning played Montreal. So sometimes it's like that too. So the Lightning don't have any travel, but they will have played the night before. I confess I haven't looked at the back-to-backs at home the Lightning have coming up in March to see if the second game is against an opponent that play the night before or not. But we can get into that tomorrow after the Lightning get through this game.
Well, closing thoughts here for tonight, and if those who want to chime in, hit us up on Twitter. We'll get to it tomorrow at Bolts Radio. What are we anticipating tonight? I think it'll be the perfect game for Tampa Bay in terms of the opponent to get back into the swing of things. I don't know what type of hockey we're going to see. But I think that's fair.
Yeah, the timing might be a little bit off, even for the guys who played in the All-Star game, because that's not really hockey, which is kind of circling back to the beginning of the show. It's just not really something that you can build off of when you get back to true game action. But both teams are in the same boat.
I think
the challenge for the Lightning is to match the word you used, urgency, Greg, to match the Panthers' urgency. I think the Panthers are going to come out with urgency.
Yeah, I think they will.
Right off the bat.
And they're going to have to. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tkachuk tries to set the tone. There was a lot of talk about playing with his brother, you know, at the All-Star game and with Barkov a little bit, and how that was nice to do and rejuvenated them a little bit. And, you know, does that have any bearing on what's going to happen tonight? I don't know. But I think if they're going to make a push, Tkachuk's going to be a guy that's going to have to, you know, bring them, as we like to say with Cirelli, into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe literally, you know, when you talk about somebody like that and getting your goaltenders healthy, I think will help. But I expect this game to be pretty physical, if anything. And I think it'll do well for Tampa Bay to get through this game and then get into tomorrow. But I would anticipate a pretty intense game tonight. And we'll see if I'm right.
Yeah.
If not.
They often are. Often. Not always.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying anything unusual, right?
No. I mean, they're rivals, you know?
Yeah,
they've been in the playoffs the last couple of years, and
they are.
I think it's okay to use the word desperate right now to describe the Panthers' situation. Their situation is desperate. I would expect that they are going to play with desperation.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Andre Vasilevsky, if you didn't know, will be the starter tonight.
Yes.
And we'll be ready to go. So it should be a lot of fun. And we will have all of the coverage starting at 6. Steve, what do we got? Do we have E back in the saddle tonight?
That's correct, the Chief, yep.
Pre-game skate show at 6. That work pre-game will be 6:30. Of course, Dave will have the call at 7. And then we've got the last call afterwards as well.
With Eric and Chief.
With Eric and Chief. And Chief and Eric will join me throughout the game tonight, along with Chris Kren and everybody else who wants to come on, which will be a lot of fun. All right, partner. Well, you have a fun game tonight, and we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll recap a game, and then we'll get ready for another one.
Yep.
So a lot of hockey here.
Right back at it.
On these airwaves. Appreciate you. Appreciate Steve Versnick as well. And, again, hit us up on Twitter throughout at Bolts Radio. We'll get to your comments tomorrow. You have been listening to Power Lunch right here on Lightning Radio.